This is Alive with Joseph.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get into scriptures this morning. I'm going to lay a foundation. I'll open up a two-part series. I will finish it off next week, Sunday. I'll lay the foundation today, and we will run different directions next week, Sunday. So let's begin. This is going to be our foundation scripture for this discussion. Acts chapter 27, from verse 9 to 12, the NIV translation. It says, much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul had said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in. The majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Amen. There's so many things I believe that God wants to do in our lives in the season. And not just in our lives, but through our lives. And I believe that as believers, you and I need to posture ourselves for those things that the Lord wants to do. There are things that God wants to do in us and through our lives. And I believe that what God wants to do for us in this season, or wants to do in our lives in this season and through our lives and for our lives, I believe they are unusual. They are going to be surprising. It will be difficult to understand and be able to explain it with human logic. The thing that God is about to do or will be doing for us in the remaining days of this year, it will be unusual, surprising, and it will be difficult for you to be able to understand and explain it with human logic. I also believe that God wants to do for you the thing that is not that has not been previously done before. He wants to do for you the things that you have not experienced before. And I pray for you, may you be properly positioned for it in the name of Jesus. I say, may you be properly positioned for it in the name of Jesus. So this morning, I'm opening up what I titled, Prepare for the Unusual. Prepare for the Unusual. Prepare for the Unusual. I'm titling it, Prepare for the Unusual, which is more like what Rami was teaching us this morning. Get an umbrella, God is working. Amen. So prepare for the unusual. You and I need to prepare for it. So understand that as believers, God wants you and I to function with the principle of exemption, or the principle of exception. Exemption, exception. And this principle suggests that what happens to others shouldn't determine or dictate what should happen to you. The principle of exemption suggests that what happens to others shouldn't determine or dictate to you what should happen to you. That is, previous patterns with other people is not an accurate indication of a future possibility for you. Previous patterns, you know, of other people is not an accurate prediction or indication of the future possibilities that is available to you. Hear this, friends. Just because it doesn't happen for those around you or for most people you know, it doesn't mean it cannot happen to you or it cannot happen for you. Because it has not happened for those around you and most people you know, doesn't mean that it cannot happen for you. And just because it is not common doesn't mean that it is not possible for you. Because it is not common doesn't mean it is not possible for you. Why? Your Heavenly Father does the unusual things. God knows how to orchestrate anomalies. God knows how to orchestrate exceptions, exemptions. He knows how to break patterns in our lives. He knows how to raise us above the patterns that we are used to. God knows how to break the rule of the norm and cause the unusual to happen for us. And I pray for you, as we are in this season, you will experience the unusual in the name of Jesus. I say you shall experience the unusual in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, speaking to us, or speaking to the Corinthian church, he said to them in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, NIV, however, as it is written, what no eyes has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. That is, there are things that God has prepared for his lovers. There are things that God has prepared for the bride of of Christ. There are things that God has prepared for us. You that is a lover of God, he wants to do something for you, or want to do things for you that your eyes haven't seen. He wants to do for you what your ears haven't heard. He wants to do for you what your heart has not been able to conceive. Hear this, friends. The scriptures makes it clear that God has prepared things what eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what has not been conceived in the heart of any man for his lovers. There are things that God has prepared for his lovers. And I pray for you, everything God has prepared for you in this season, may you enter into it in the name of Jesus. I say you will enter into it in the name of Jesus. There are healings God has prepared for you, enter into it in the name of Jesus. Opportunities God has prepared for you, enter into it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. So hear this, God gave, when you look at that scripture, God gave the Apostle Paul a revelation of what he wants to do so that he could create a hunger in Paul for what he wants to do. God gave him a revelation for what he wants to do. And the reason for that revelation is so that he could create a hunger in him for what he wants to do. And that is the same thing that happens for you and I. God will always tell us what he wants to do in our lives in order for him to awaken an appetite so that you and I can start desiring for ourselves what he desires for you. So when God is telling us that he wants to do the unusual, he is waking up an appetite in you so that you and I can begin to desire the unusual. So that we can begin to desire the unusual. Listen, friends, God cannot bring to pass in your life what he wants for you if you don't want it. He cannot bring to pass in your life what he wants for you if you don't want it. So if you are going to get what God wants for you or what God has prepared for you, it then means that you will have to also desire it for yourself for you to be able to get it. If you do not desire it for yourself, there is no way you can get it. If God wants to bring you to a point and elevate you, if you do not desire elevation, even though it is the intentions of God for you, it will not come to pass. That is why there is nothing God will do on this planet Earth without the assistance of human. For God to do anything on this earth, he will of necessity require the permission of man. The same thing applies to your life. Whatever God wants to do in your life, he will require your permission. So what he does is create the appetite in you so that you can desire it, so that he can bring to pass what he has prepared for you. And I pray for you, everything God has prepared for you, it will come to pass in this season in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your loudest amen. I say it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. When you study the book of John chapter 5, you will see an incident that happened in John chapter 5. Jesus get to the pool of Bethesda, and he says to the man by the pool, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he has been in this condition for a long time. I don't know who you are. You have been in that condition for a long time. I came here today with the rod of higher authority. I bring you out of that condition in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I bring you out in the name of Jesus. I bring you out in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Give him praise. He said he has been in that condition for a long time. Then he asked him, do you want to get well? Because I need your permission to do what I'm about to do. Do you want to get well? The question was not that, you know, does Jesus have the power? The question was not that, can Jesus make it happen? The question was, can Jesus open? The question was, can you allow him do what he wants to do? So the question is not, can Jesus open the door for you that no man can shut? The question is, do you want it? The question is, do you want? Because even though if God wants to open for you the doors that no man can shut, if you do not want it for yourself, he cannot be able to do it. Because why? Whatever he would do in your life, he requires you to participate by you desiring for what he already wants for your life. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? Do you want to? You can imagine Jesus seeing a man knowing by discernment and by the Spirit he has been in that condition for a long time. He could have on a normal day sympathized with him and bring him out. But Jesus didn't sympathize with him. He asked him, do you want to get well? Because I don't know. It might actually be that you love your bondage. It might actually be that you are romancing your bondage. It might actually be
that you love the bondage that you are in. I don't know who you under the sound of my voice. Whatever you have clinged on to that you're not supposed to hold on to, that has kept you where you ought not to be, today I release you in the name of Jesus. As I release you in the name of Jesus, give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. Because friends, if you want it, God is able to do. If you want it, God is willing to do. If you want it, God will move the mountains to get it to you. If you want it, God will part the Red Seas for it to get to you. If you want it, He will do for you exceeding abundantly above all you could ever imagine. So God is asking you this morning, how well do you want it? How well do you want it? How much do you want it? And I believe seated in this sacred space are men and women who are expecting God to do some unusual things in their life in this season. And if you're that person, wave your hands and give the Lord your praise and tell the Lord, Lord, I want it. Lord, do the unusual in my life. God, do surprising wonders in my destiny in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So wanting God to do the unusual is not that you are not grateful for the past. It is that you're simply saying to yourself, I am expecting something better than what I already have experienced. I'm expecting something greater in the future than what I've experienced. I love what Rami was talking this morning when he was saying, believers tend to, they get to a certain level and a certain point they settle. Remember the testimony he gave of a man he walked up to who was already doing so well. And the man felt that I don't need so much, so he told him, whatever you are having, God will double it. And the man looked at him and laughed. I said to Pastor Cordelia, that man missed a prophetic moment. I don't know who you are. You think that you have arrived. You think that everything is going well. You don't need anything again. But I came to declare what God is about to do is exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever imagine or think. Therefore, I declare, receive the unusual in the name of Jesus. I say, receive the unusual in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. May you never settle. I pray for you. May you never settle in the name of Jesus. May you never get to the place where you think that you have arrived. You don't have room for more. I decree and I declare, you will not be like the king that the prophet says, strike the ground. And he struck only 3 times. And the man of God said, why did you stop? Why did you stop? Why did you stop? I don't know who that is for. Don't stop until God makes you a praise on the earth. Give the Lord your praise this morning. I say, give the Lord your praise this morning. So often we want to settle, but God is saying, there is more. There is more. There is more. Listen, friends. I believe seated in this place are men and women who are saying, I have nothing against normal, but normal is not for me. How many say normal is not for me? Well, I don't know for you, for me, my wife, my children, normal is not for us. I have nothing against the usual, but friends, there are some of us, the usual is not for us. And I pray for you, may God wake up the appetite for the unusual in the name of Jesus. May God wake up on the inside of you, the appetite for the unusual in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. Every time you desire for the unusual, it doesn't mean that you're judging or dismissing those who like normal things. There are those who like normal things. It's not a problem. There are those who like normal. There are those who want, don't you see when they do the idols? There are those whose target is the wooden mic. That's their target. Wooden mic. Amen. It's not a problem. That's what they have set their gaze on. Where there are those, people like Okai and Tetua, whose goal is the ultimate prize. They want the golden mic. If you give them the wooden mic, they will not settle. So, it's not a problem. The same in the kingdom. There are those whose goal is the wooden mic. We celebrate you. We encourage you. Praise Jesus for your life. But there are some of us, the wooden mic will not do, because if I handle the wooden mic, it will break. So we need a gold mic because of what the Lord wants to do through us, in us, and for us. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I pray for you. You will not settle for normal in the name of Jesus. You will not settle for usual in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your highest praise this morning. Some of you, what you have gone through was not normal. So what you have had to overcome was not normal. Are you understanding me? You've gone through things that is not normal. You have had to survive through things that was not normal. And listen, friends, if you have had to go through abnormal things, unusual battles, how dare you want to settle for normal victory? When the battles you've gone through, the burdens you've been through, they were not normal. All of those abnormal things, the burdens, the battles, you know, the unusual things you've had to go through, was God preparing you for unusual blessing. It means God is preparing you for abnormal testimony. You can't go through abnormal battle and have normal testimony. Are you understanding me, friends? You can't go through abnormal battle and you come out with normal victory. You can't kill a Goliath and you return back to the wilderness. After Goliath, the throne is waiting for you. When you kill the bear and the lion, God says there is a Goliath, and after it, I'm about to introduce you to the throne. Are you understanding me this morning? Hallelujah. So the things you've been through are not normal. They have been abnormal, and I came to declare, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may your testimony be abnormal in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I declare, receive uncommon testimony in the name of Jesus. Receive unusual blessing in the name of Jesus. Receive abnormal favor in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So that is why, as a believer, you can't come to the house of God and give God a common expression of worship, because he has done so much for you. He has taken away your sorrow. He has done some unusual and abnormal things in your life. Hear this, friends. I believe the reason why God brings you to a place like this that continuously challenges you is because your destiny is not normal. He can't carry an abnormal destiny and put in a normal atmosphere. He can't. You know, who could have been singing lullaby, you know, Jesus born in the manger. Well, you come here, we wake you up. We tell you there is greater. Because the greater that is in you is more than the one that is in the world. So God brings you to a crazy atmosphere because of the abnormal destiny you carry. So that we can wake up some things on the inside of you. So that we can tell you to arise, because there is greater waiting for you. We can tell you to, where you have settled is not God's best for you. There is still more waiting for you. Give the Lord your praise this morning. I say, give the Lord your praise this morning. So he sends you to a place like this. God says, I want you to be around people who wants things that are unusual the same way you want them. Because, friends, if you have unusual appetite and you stay around men and women who have usual appetite, they will ruin your appetite. They will ruin your appetite. So God sends you to a hungry place. A place where we are hungry for more of his power, more of his presence, hungry for more fire, hungry for more souls, hungry for more buildings to be able to touch more lives, hungry for more souls to come into the kingdom of God. We're not rubbing our stomach. Oh, I carry the two services that fool Jesus is Lord. No. We are hungry for more. If need be, we go 4 services. If need be, we go 5 services. We expand the building. We buy another building. We put the children there. The building continue. The crowd continue to increase. Why? Because the normal is no longer needed. Abnormal growth. Listen, friends. There are things that God wants to do in the believer, that if the believer does not wake up the appetite for the abnormal, the believer can't receive it. There's nothing normal about your God. There's nothing normal about your God. There's not the one who numbers the hair on your head. Can that person be a normal person? How do you number the hair on a man's head? You look at a man's, you know, what do you call it now? Cheese cup. And you tell me you have numbered the hair on his head. Give this abnormal God praise this morning. Give him praise this morning. As I give him praise this morning. Give Jesus praise this morning. Give Jesus praise this morning. There's nothing normal. I met somebody sometime this week, and the person, you know, we're talking about our morning prayer. The person said, for morning prayers, I said, it's like going on for over 3 years now. We're entering the fourth year. The person said, every morning. I said, yes, Monday to Friday. He said, including December, Christmas time. I said, yes. The person looked at me. He said, this is not normal. In my heart, I said, yes. It's abnormal. It's abnormal. Oh, you didn't hear. I said it's abnormal. I say it's abnormal. So God brings you to an abnormal place. How dare you remain normal? Normal job, normal life, average Joe, average job, average this, everything average. That devil is a bastard. I reject it for you in the name of Jesus. As I reject it for you in the name of Jesus. You know where I came from? They will say to fiakwa. I do to fiakwa on your behalf in the name of Jesus. You didn't hear me. I said, I do to fiakwa on your behalf in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. How many will say, I'm hungry for more? How many are hungry for the unusual? How many are hungry for the unusual? Hungry for the uncommon? Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hey! There's nothing normal about the believer. You know, when you study the scriptures, I'm yet to find any word that says normal that describes the believer. So this morning, I want to show you how to get something unusual and uncommon. How to get the unusual and uncommon. Because, friends, my assignment is to prepare you. So that the remaining days of this year, you will get everything you've not been able to get in the last 9 months. Hallelujah. If you want unusual things, then you will have to prepare for it. And preparing for the unusual things, will require you have discernment and perception. It will require you have discernment and perception. You cannot experience unusual things if you don't develop your discernment and perception. You cannot. Hear what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. He says, however, as it is written, what no eyes have seen, what no ear have heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things which God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things which God revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. If he has stopped, you know, where he stopped, it would have been dangerous. But he said, these things are revealed to us, because if no eyes have seen it, if no ears have heard it, and no heart has conceived it, if he stops there, there will be confusion. But he now comes and tells us, the things I'm talking about will be revealed. It will be revealed. So the Apostle Paul says, this thing is revealed to us. So it is what your five senses can't articulate. It is revealed to your spirit. Your spirit allows you to be able to see what your optic eyes can't see. Listen, friends, your spirit man enhances your other senses, because your spirit man allows you to see what your optic eyes can't see. It allows you to hear what your natural hearing cannot hear. Your natural hearing hears their voice in the boardroom, but your spirit man hears their heart in the same boardroom. The same boardroom, the same meeting going on. You're having interaction. You're having, you know, agreement. But your spirit man is hearing what your natural hearing is not hearing. Are you understanding me this morning? So your natural ears, yes, in between the line. You meet someone, you ask them, how are you doing? And they say to you, I'm fine. Your natural ears, yes, fine. But the spirit man tells you, probe further. Something is not right. And by the time you ask further, before you know it, they break down. The truth starts flying all over the place. You now know it's an opportunity for you to minister to them and bring healing to whatever they are going through. What eyes have not seen. As a believer, listen, there is no spiritual success without the active use of your discernment and perception. When your discernment works out, stagnation works in. There are many believers whose life is stuck simply because they have no discernment. They are operating only with their five senses. They take decisions only with their five senses. Beyond their five senses, they have no extra input into the decisions of their life. Only their five senses. And as a result, they are stuck. They are where they ought not to be, because the only information they gather is within the parameters of their five senses. Most people are unable to maximize seasons in their lives because they are bankrupt of discernment. They are bankrupt of discernment. Listen, friends, when a believer is bankrupt of discernment, the believer cannot make progress, because progress is as a result of what you have discerned and perceived. God telling you, arise, go, stop, sit, don't. When a believer cannot discern what the Lord is saying, what the Lord is, you know, instructing them to do, they get stuck. And many believers are stuck, not because the devil is powerful. Many believers are stagnant because they have no discernment. They have no discernment. They have no discernment. Many believers have no spiritual perception. The woman said, "For I perceive this is a holy man of God." So that means when Elisha, was it Elisha or Elijah? When he showed up, he didn't look like a man of God. He didn't look like a prophet. She said, "But I perceive." And that became the turnaround story she was expecting. I pray for you. May your perception wake up in the name of Jesus. May your discernment wake up in the name of Jesus. Many believers have missed opportunities because they lack discernment. And many believers have entered into danger because they lack discernment. So you cannot experience the unusual if you do not wake up or develop your discernment. What is discernment? What then is discernment? Discernment is the faculty of spiritual perception. Discernment is you training your organs to be able to perceive the impulses of the spirit. It is the ability to know what God is doing and to also know what the devil is doing. It's not only the ability to know what God is doing, to also know what the devil is doing. Some people have hired their enemies because they have no discernment. Some have married their enemies because they have no discernment. May you not marry your enemy. Oh. You didn't say amen. I said, may you not marry your enemies. Oh. But if you're already married, praise God for your life. The Lord will help you through it. I'm not praying for you to God. The Lord will help you through it. Hallelujah. Some have married their enemies because they lack discernment. He only saw the Brazilian hair. Not knowing that underneath the Brazilian hair is snakes. So he entered. Lack of discernment. People have walked into a job that God didn't ask them to go into. Lack of discernment. So discernment is the ability to know what God is doing and to also know what the devil is also doing. Because sometimes what you call an open door might actually be a trap. But discernment will help you. Hallelujah. Do you know why lack of discernment is a problem? It is a problem because the quality of your life, listen carefully, the quality of your life is based on the quality of your decisions. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them with the ability to choose. God now puts them in the garden. He tells them how to choose, but he didn't make the choices for them. He tells them how to choose, but doesn't choose for them. He takes them, puts them in the Garden of Eden, and tells them how to choose, but doesn't choose for them. When God created humans, there was something distinct about us. And that is the difference between us and animals. That is, it is the ability to relate. So God wanted something that will love him back, and humans have the ability to love back, and love requires the ability to choose. Love requires the ability to choose. If God hasn't given us the ability to choose him, that love will not have been a real love. It will have been fake love, because if he had not allowed us to choose if we will love him or not, it will have been forced love. It's like what happens in Africa where they'll take a small girl and betroth her to a man that is nearing his grave. Amen. Hallelujah. So if God hasn't given us the ability to choose him, that would not have been real love. So God has given the ability to choose to humans. So the quality of your life is based on the quality of your decision. Discernment is so important because there are seasons in your life where you will have to make decisions that your five senses alone cannot be enough. There will be seasons in your life where you will have to make decisions, crucial decisions, important decisions that will move your life forward or hinder it from going forward, where you cannot depend on your five senses to be able to make such decisions. Are you understanding me, friends? Hear this. Every decision is not black and white. Every decision is not black and white. When it comes to decisions that cannot be solved by using five senses, if you lack discernment and perception, you will be hopeless. You will be arrested by anxiety. Why? Because now you will be gambling with a decision that can potentially have a catastrophic consequence on your life. Why? Because there is no discernment. And you're about to make a decision that will either decide how you go forward or how you go backwards. And many have made decisions in their life because they lack discernment. They lack discernment. When you have the revelation that your heavenly Father is also a shepherd, and one of the responsibilities of a shepherd is the role, the ability to lead. When you have that revelation, you will be able to desire discernment, knowing that your Father wants to lead you. Psalm 23 tells us, when you read from verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul." He returns back again and says, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So your heavenly Father, he is a shepherd. He is a leader. And for a leader to lead well, he must have some form of communication with those he is leading. And the reason why God is not leading many of you well, the communication line has been broken. A leader that lacks the ability to communicate, or there's no communication line between him and the people he's leading, will not be able to lead properly. Because why? If you cannot communicate to the people you're leading, you will struggle to give direction. And the reason why many are not being led by God is because there is no communication between them and God. There is no communication between them and God. They are just doing their own thing. And the shepherd is saying, "Can you settle down? Open up the channels of communication so that I can direct you. I pray for you. Whatever has closed up your channels of communication with your heavenly Father, I command it be opened up in the name of Jesus." You know, like the testimony Ramirez was giving to us, if that man's channels of communication were opened up, he would have said amen when the prophetic word went forth. But you can see, based on that narrative, you can see that it is a man that is used to his five senses. He missed a prophetic moment. May you not miss a prophetic moment in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. May your channels of communication with your heavenly Father be open in the name of Jesus. Hear this, friends. When it comes to the consequential decisions in our lives, those great decisions, you need discernment. And God wants to know, when it comes to black and white decisions, you need wisdom. Black and white decision, you need wisdom. You need principle. But when it comes to gray, decisions, you need revelation from him. You need a word from God. When it is black and white, use wisdom. Use a principle. When it is gray, you need a prompting. You need perception. You need discernment. Listen, when there is no discernment, you can end up making a series of destructive decisions that hinders your advancement, hinders your movement forward. Because discernment is a grace that the believer has when he or she is in partnership with the Holy Spirit. When you're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. When you're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways to measure how mature the believer is the strength of their discernment, not even their ability to preach. It's the strength of their discernment. It's the strength of their discernment. And for God to do the unusual, you and I must understand, we must develop discernment, because there are areas God wants to bring you into that if you do not discern at the initial stage, it will look like a stumbling block, but behind it is a testimony. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Amen. So one of the ways to measure how matured a believer is the strength of their discernment. The strength of their discernment. The Apostle Paul tells us this, the last scripture, or the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us this. The last scripture I'll read for this morning, and I'll leave it here. He says, are you ready? Now let's read. At the count of three, one, two, three, go. If you don't mind, can we read it again properly? Everyone, can we? You know, the way you're reading, you're not writing an exam. It's just the scriptures we're reading. Don't be afraid. Read with boldness. Are you hearing me? Read. One, two, three, let's go. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says strong meat. You know, we have a meat recently in the house, and we cook that meat, is strong meat. We cook that meat, eh? You know, when I was chewing it, this scripture came to my soul. It's a strong meat. I said to myself, if your teeth is weak, this meat will remove everything. Strong meat. Strong meat belong to them. For you now to see that he wasn't now talking about meat as in physical meat. He now moved immediately. Belong to them that are full of age. Even those who by the reason of their senses, by the reason of their senses, exercise to discern. So I told you earlier on, the sermon is not only about discerning God, also discerning the devil. He said to discern both good and evil. Strong meat, those who are full of age. The indices that shows that you are full of age is the ability to discern both good and evil. And if you cannot discern, you'll be in danger. We live in a time where the confusion in our world has made it, if you are not walking by the Spirit, even the very elect is being deceived. You and I cannot come into the unusual if we do not exercise our senses to be able to discern both good and evil. It takes discernment to make quality decisions as a believer. It takes discernment for you to know what is really good and what is really evil. When it comes to the realms of the spirit, good can look like evil and evil can look like good. The Bible said that the devil masquerades like an angel of light. If you do not have discernment, when the devil appears like the angel of light, you will be deceived. So you need discernment. You need discernment. You get into that business, you need discernment. People have, you know, fraternized with business partners who have ended up destroying them because they lacked discernment. People have had friends, close friends, who they have no business having closeness with because they lacked discernment. So he says strong meat belong to those who are of age, even those who by the reason of use have their senses exercised to discern. When it comes to the realms of the spirit, good can look like evil, evil can look like good. But when you are able to discern, you are able to discern, you are able to discern, then you're able to make progress. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Let's rise on our feet.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.